Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If the God of the Bible really exists, I would go gladly to hell. And anybody happy to go to heaven to worship such a creature is morally bankrupt.
It is because God's wrath is real that his mercy is relevant. Unless you have a real wrath, the biblical concepts of mercy and of grace are robbed of their meaning.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What can the Christians say in a culture of shaming? This is Wretched Radio. Don't know if you're familiar with the term cancel culture. This is not an entirely new trend, but it's reached a new level of sophistication courtesy of the internet, courtesy of the iPhone, courtesy of social media, which has created something called cancel culture. Here's the definition. Cancel culture refers to the popular practice of withdrawing support or canceling public figures and companies after they've done or said something considered objectionable or offensive. Cancel culture is generally discussed as being performed on social media in the form of group shaming. Now, I recall not too long ago, the culture decided shaming anybody was a bad thing, but now apparently it's a good thing if you can use it as a weapon to shut down anybody who says anything that a particular group of people finds offensive. What is the Christian to do in that culture? Some recent cases of cultural shaming, canceling an individual, would be Jimmy Fallon. Apparently, a tweet was found or a statement that he made, give or take, about a decade ago that was deemed insensitive, inappropriate, offensive, have caused... They do that. We've seen that, too. But the culture to go, shame on you. We don't like you. You're out. And we're not going to watch you, and we're not going to think that you're cool anymore. Case in point, the author of Harry Potter... tweeting about transgenderism, basically stating, well, actually, there are sexes, because if there weren't sexes, then there'd be nothing to same-sex attraction. So there is something about sexes that is identifiable and connected to your actual gender. And for that, well, even the kid, the Harry Potter kid, what's the name of the Harry Potter boy? The
Daniel Radcliffe?
That kid right there said, don't agree. And even somebody as popular as Jimmy Fallon or J.K. Rowling, they're being culturally shamed. They're being canceled because she questioned transgenderism. Even as she said, I would go to a march to defend transgender people to not be discriminated against. But as a woman, I don't think that it's hateful to say that there is. You're either a boy or a girl. You're if you're born with certain parts, you're that. And as a woman, I don't think that that's insensitive to state it. Well, apparently the culture has determined it is, and therefore, you get shamed. Case in point, let me take you to Birmingham. A pastor of a megachurch, he gave some thumbs up to some comments that were made by a very conservative cultural commentator, Charlie Kirk. And because he approved of at least some of the things that that young man said, this pastor of a megachurch in Birmingham being culturally shamed, being canceled. The Housing Authority of the Birmingham District and the Birmingham Board of Education have cut ties with that church due to controversy surrounding the pastor, liking social media posts that have been criticized as racially insensitive. That is our current culture. Say something out of step, whatever the current step is, on whatever the current hot button issue is, and you get canceled. You get shamed. If you want to, don't know that you need to, but if you want to, just Google canceling. Google cultural canceling culture. And it will take you to all kinds of other words and places that I didn't know exist. Doxing. And then I think it's called porn shaming, something like that, where they do things to your computer to demonstrate you're a bad person, and then they make it public. and shame you into silence. What can a Christian do in a culture like that when our message is indeed deemed intolerant on virtually every level? There is hardly a Christian theology that in our current culture that would not be esteemed as being insensitive. Starting with Jesus saying he's the way, the truth, and the life. In our postmodern world, that is so offensive. What do you mean Hindus or Buddhists are wrong? What do you mean Allah doesn't exist? How dare you speak out on gender issues, marriage issues, sexual issues, and these days it seems even racial issues? If you say the thing that is deemed insensitive, you get canceled. You get culturally shamed. And sometimes you can even lose your job, which is a trend. Every private industry, they can do it. It's probably an at-will state. They can do what they do. But that's a horrifying trend, that if you do something in your private life that your boss says, that's just not something that I agree with, you lose your job. And we've seen that, haven't we? So what is a Christian to say? Can you speak truth into any of these areas? I think you need to know that you are at risk if you do. If you toe the Christian line, you will face somebody who is upset with you. I've just been recently watching videos of pastors being almost apoplectic toward other pastors who are not speaking out with a particular perspective on racial issues in America. A pastor shaming other pastors for not speaking out in a way that is deemed acceptable, at least to him? How do we engage in this? How do you enter into this? Any commentary on the effectiveness of this aside, might I suggest we turn to our Bibles to look for maybe some hints as to what we should be talking about and what we should be preaching, remembering full well there were cultural issues in the first century. We're not the first century to deal with these issues. I might suggest to you we're dealing with them more than ever because of this little old thing called social media, which I'm increasingly wondering is kind of a Tower of Babel sort of affair. It just has become this device that gets used to transmit information to people who really don't need to know it, to get them involved in situations that they really don't belong in, to cause a lot of angst and a lot of trouble. I got to tell you, last night we were sitting at the table. All the kids are over. We ate some lasagna. Mrs. Friel makes good lasagna. And we broke out the rum a cube. And we're sitting around the table. Three of us were playing rum a cube. Another two were doing some vocabulary words for an upcoming test. So that's what we were doing. And in the background, I think it was either Louis Armstrong or Frank Sinatra singing Love and Marriage, something. And I sat and I went, what if we didn't have cell phones and social media and YouTube machines and all this cable TV? We'd be doing stuff like this every night. Now, I recognize that might get boring, but the whole environment was just so pleasant, I don't mind telling you, because it was none of this, all right, here's what's going on, here's what's happening, here's what you need to be upset about, here's how you need to talk, this is what you need to do, here's who you should be angry at, here's who's in, here's who's out, here's who we shame, here's who we don't. Love and marriage, sitting there playing rum a cube. It does make you long for days when we didn't get bombarded by a lot of information on these little devices. One wonders if that could be considered one of the downsides to this invention called social media. I know it can be used for the propagation of the gospel, but it can be used for the propagation of a lot of things, and I can't help but think it's contributing to a lot of the cultural, forget culture wars. This is almost going to be like a civil cultural war that we're experiencing. And I wonder how much the cell phones play in that. Just musing. What did the first century disciples bring to their culture? A little survey of the book of Acts for your consideration. Basically, six things. They preach Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, the word of the Lord, the gospel, forgiveness of sins, and repentance. That's it. They didn't bring 10 steps to improving your marriage, 5 steps to financial freedom, 4 ways that we can have social peace, that we can all get along. Didn't do that. For instance, if you take a little survey of it, Acts 8, Philip did what? Preached Christ. Acts 8, 12, preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Acts 8, 25, preaching the gospel, the word of the Lord in the villages of the Samaritans. There was some racial tension there. Don't hear about it. They preached the gospel. Philip opened his mouth, began preaching Jesus to them. Acts 9, 20, preached the Christ in the synagogues. 13, 5, preached the word of the Lord. Acts 13, 38, preached forgiveness of sins. This man, Jesus Christ. Acts 14, 21, preached the gospel to that city. Acts 14, 25, preached the word in Perga. Acts 5, 42, daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Christian, you say anything these days, you're probably going to get whacked for it. Let's get whacked for the right thing, shall we? This is Wretched Radio. Whilst you and I perhaps cannot do much work, God has not been sidelined by a virus, and he is working and he is fulfilling his promise to build his church, even in Nepal.
So there are 65 Nepalese fellowships ranging between about 4,000 to 5,000 believers who worship the Lord every day. And we see conversion every day, literally every day. People are added to the church.
The Spirit of God continuing to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, regenerating believers, filling Jesus' churches. And these new believers, they need Bibles. Would you please participate in this great work and provide Bibles to new believers in Nepal and around the globe? It is merely $5 per Bible. How many could you send through Bible League International? You can do that at wretched.org/Bible.
Thanks so much for being here. Always appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day listening to Wretched Radio. And thanks to our gospel partners, the folks who make Wretched Radio and Wretched TV, Wretched.org, the home of all things wretched, possible. Not to mention all our resources. None of that would happen if it weren't for our gospel partners. So thank you. Thank you very much for your generosity. If you are not a gospel partner, would you today prayerfully consider becoming one? Partner with us to preach the gospel, equip others to preach and defend the gospel, and to strengthen the local church. Visit wretched.org/donate for details on becoming a gospel partner. Yes, we are a 501c3, so all your gifts are tax deductible. We are members of the ECFA, which means we promise to be good stewards of your money, and they will hold us accountable. Wretched.org/donate to become a gospel partner. Wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Hold on to your socks. This might just blow them off. The Masters Academy International, brilliant on every level. There are thousands of empty pulpits around the globe. What have they done? Established mini seminaries, training centers in 16 nations to equip indigenous men to fill those pulpits and rightly divide the word of truth. But the Masters Academy International has an even higher goal. This is from Samara, Russia.
The objective is not only to place the preachers of local churches on a biblical basis. The goal is not just to give them knowledge. The highest priority is to change the character, to create a minister of a completely different level than it was before, a preacher of a new generation.
Amazing. Would you please consider supporting the Masters Academy International in their endeavor to do just that? Wretched.org/pastor. Wretched.org/pastor.
It is ingenious when you think about it. The mission ball is a simple soccer ball covered with biblical text, an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Because the mission ball is covered with a thorough law and gospel presentation written in ink that doesn't come off very easily. Find out how you can support the mission ball. Go to themissionball.org. themissionball.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 988 AD. After examining several religions, Vladimir, Prince of Kiev, chooses Orthodox Christianity to unify and guide the Russian people. Even after a century of atheistic communist rule, Orthodoxy remains at the core of life in Eastern Europe to this day. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. What are we seeing in our world? There's no doubt there is a tectonic shift taking place. In a lot of realms, we have seen that. The year 2020, the year where I think most of us would say, could I just get off of this ride? Because I think I've had just about enough of this year. I would like to suggest to you, things aren't going to improve. We are seeing in virtually every realm of our culture the effects of post-Christian thinking. It is happening in every single realm, and it has been happening for decades. We just perhaps are reaching something of a boiling point as of late, because you see worldviews being played out on the stage. Ideas that once used to exist in a classroom where kids would be indoctrinated with some radical or progressive ideas, now it's being played out on our stage, and it is involving us. And now we are left to ask questions, how am I supposed to live in a culture that apparently is headed toward lawlessness by design, where we are requesting that we no longer have police departments, or perhaps instead of having police doing their role as intervening in dangerous situations, well, we just have other groups and other people get it worked out. It's kind of scary, isn't it? Gentlemen, you should be interested in this. I think it was on WCCO. Saw a news clip. There was an anchor from WCCO. I think they're the CBS affiliate still, or did that change?
Nope, I don't
know how that works. This was a number of years ago. Channel 4 used to be like ABC, and then suddenly it became CBS.
No. Channel 4 has always been CBS.
All right.
All the other three have shuffled and become several other things.
And Channel 9 has always been crummy.
No matter what.
And 29 and 23, I think, are a cluster that keeps shifting.
However they play their big high-profile games, I don't know. But this was on Channel 4, the CBS affiliate. There was a city councilwoman being interviewed and asked the question about the defunding of the police department. And the woman said something like, I don't think she was speaking about herself personally. I think she was trying to represent a lot of people who are wondering, hey, what about our personal safety? She said, so what do you say to the person whose house is being broken into? Who are they supposed to call? Now, I'm paraphrasing. I do believe I'm representing her correctly. She said, the typical. I'm going to say the thing that tells you that I'm not really saying you're wrong. And then I'm going to tell you you're really wrong. So she said something like, you know, I really can appreciate that. And then you know what's going to happen. I can appreciate that. But here it is. She said, that question comes from a position of privilege. Okay, the question was, my house is being broken into in the middle of the night. Who do I call? That question is coming from a place of cultural privilege.
Who are you to protect your stuff when there are homeless people who don't have homes to be broken into?
That's pretty much what she said. And so instead of answering the question, and my point isn't a commentary on the needs of homeless people, it was more that she, first of all, evaded the question, but answered it in an academic way. That's cultural, because you actually own a home. You don't understand what it's like to not own a home. And so people who break into the home don't have a home. So we need to do things to, like defunding the police, to get money to those people so that they can have a home. Now, again, there was no answering of the question. And second of all, that was academia being spoken on television and actually played out and implemented in our communities. That is the year of 2020, in my opinion. we are seeing some ideologies that are grounded in all kinds of worldviews that are actually being imposed on everybody. Scientism this year has been monstrously imposed on our whole world. The scientists say it, even though they admit, well, we really don't understand everything, but you've all got to do this. And we can have those debates about it, but my point is this. Ideologies that are created by philosophers, by activists that make their way into the universities have now made their way into life. And that's what we're seeing this year. And Christian, you are in the middle of it. You are seeing a tectonic shift in the world. And I do believe that it is accurate to say this shift has taken place because thinking is so radically different than it once was. Well, what changed? Take a look at what has changed in our culture. What are the big institutions? Has government changed? Well, I know that there are people who are fighting for socialism. And by the way, headline, Bernie Sanders, I don't agree with push to abolish police departments. That's fascinating. I wonder if he'll get called out culturally and canceled. Nevertheless, we still have our government system operating, give or take, the same way that it has for decades. That hasn't changed. What's different? Transportation? Well, we can maybe have more efficient cars. They can go faster. Air conditioning works better, but that's rather insignificant. Is there anything that's happening in the entertainment world? Yeah, there is. It's getting raunchier and raunchier. That's certain. We have a massive influx of technology. That is certainly different. What else might be different? Ah, here's something unmistakable, a new Pew Research, both in the Democratic Party and in the Republican Party, fewer Christians that are identifying as Christians in both of those parties. Fewer now than ever in the Democratic Party, but even less in the Republican Party. Political perspective aside, all that does is remind us that there are fewer Christians in this country, or at least people who identify as Christians in this country. And to me, that's the biggie. And what we see coming out of social media in and of itself, it's neutral. It's just there, good or bad. It can be used either way. It itself can't be dirty or incorrect or racist or anything else for that matter. It just is. How we use it is the issue. And what determines how we use these tools? Our thinking. What is our thinking informed by? Our believing. Believing always comes first. It always comes first. Now, they can get wrapped up and entangled, but if you believe that progressive thinking, liberal ideology, I believe that's the best way, then how are you going to think? Like a liberal progressive. And the same thing is true. If you are a Christian, you're going to be thinking like a Christ one. And the biggest cultural shift that we have seen in worldview has no doubt been Christianity abating in and replaced by what? Progressive liberalism. And it used to exist mostly in the classrooms, but many of us, and perhaps you did this years ago, when we started seeing these trends and when we started visiting universities and talking to students and going, what? You mean you believe that this coffee mug can also be a Pontiac? Okay. And perhaps we even joked about it. What's going to happen when these kids leave here and go out and get jobs, and then they get older and they find themselves as CEOs, and then they find themselves as thought leaders, and then they find themselves teaching university, and they find themselves in political roles? What is it going to be like? Welcome to 2020. They've graduated. They've been indoctrinated with liberal ideologies, and now they are simply expressing their worldview and trying to impose their worldview on culture. And if we as Christians don't keep our heads on straight through these confusing times, you're going to go bonkers. Really, you're just going to go bonkers. You're going to be obsessed with these conversations over and over and over again. Is your home different than mine? Are your conversations that radical? Is anybody talking about sports these days? Anybody chatting just about news items that are going on? No, it's the hot topic. It was COVID. Now it's racial issues, and you're being thrust into these conversations. And if we fail to remember, the reason that these things are happening is because we have less and less Christian thinking going on in every regard, from every position. And so you are going to see increasing bonkers thinking. Case in point, a UK government scientist suggests as a replacement for shaking hands, live long and prosper. Now, they recognize it's kind of difficult to make your hands do that. So you got to practice it. And then you go out into, okay, this guy is a professor at a university. And his new claim to fame is, I know how I'm going to help culture. We're going to greet each other like Spock. And you read this and you go, stop this. Start one off of 2020. Read the book of Judges. And if you think this is bad, wait for 2021. Unless people's, not their thinking has changed, but unless their believing is changed. And the only way that happens is if they hear the gospel. This is Wretched Radio.
Here's your invitation to support SOS Ministries. They want to see a God-fearing, gospel-proclaiming church rise up across Uganda and impact the whole of Ugandan society. SOS Ministries hopes to accomplish all of this with community outreach, Legacy Christian Academy, the Ministry of Church Strengthening, and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. So would you consider supporting SOS Ministries? Go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com. This is Wretched Radio. I'm Tony Verkenis. In Pakistan, a Christian family was shot last week for buying a house in a Muslim neighborhood. On Sunday, police in the city of Peshawar arrested the sons of a man accused of shooting two members of a Christian family after they purchased a home in late May in the Sawati Patek colony, according to Asia News. The alleged perpetrator, Salman Khan, is still at large. After Khan had found out that his new neighbors were Christian, the Catholic press reports that Khan told the family they had to leave the neighborhood immediately because Christians are seen as the enemy of Islam. What followed was days of alleged harassment against Nadim Joseph and his family, said to have been threatened with consequences if they didn't leave their new home. Khan is accused of giving the family a 24-hour ultimatum Sunday, but Joseph refused to leave his home, tried to call the police once he noticed that Khan and his sons had returned with weapons. That's when Joseph was shot in the stomach by his attackers, who also shot his mother-in-law in the shoulder. Both victims taken to a nearby hospital. Their injuries do not appear to be life-threatening. Christian activist Khalid Shahzad, who is in touch with the family, told Asia News that the shooting is an example of the religious intolerance found in Pakistan. Shahzad was quoted in an article Monday saying, "The main offender is still at large. Law enforcement agencies must do everything possible to capture him and bring him to justice." Pakistan ranks fifth on Open Doors 2020 watch list, noting that Christians are regarded as second-class citizens. Praying for our brothers and sisters? Reuters is reporting in Nigeria, Boko Haram has killed at least 69 people and destroyed an entire village. The slaughter occurred in northern Nigeria's Borno state and began around noon on Tuesday. According to the Reuters report, they arrived in vehicles and on motorcycles with AK-47s, razing the village and stealing 1,200 cattle and camels. A resident, a civilian joint task force member, and a soldier each confirmed the same account. Sources say the militants attacked the village because they suspected residents of sharing information on the group's activities and movements with authorities. Boko Haram, an Islamic terrorist group that has declared its loyalty to ISIS, have killed thousands and displaced millions in Nigeria in recent years. In China, despite the deadly COVID-19 outbreak, word comes that 250 crosses were removed from church buildings in just one province over a period of 4 months. Bitter Winter reports that Anhui Province authorities removed at least 250 crosses from buildings owned by the approved three self-churches in the eastern part of the province during a period from January to April of this year. A member of one of the congregations told Bitter Winter that local government officials declared at the end of last year that because of the animosity between the United States and China, the government fears that Christians, whose number is growing in China, will unite with foreigners against the state. We'll keep praying for our brothers and sisters. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkenis.
books of the Bible. The prophet Jeremiah preached judgment and repentance to Judah for more than 40 years. He was mocked, beaten, and imprisoned. But in the end, God's judgment came upon Judah. When you hold fast to the word of God, you will be heartbroken, mocked, and even persecuted. But let Jeremiah remind you that every word of God will prove true. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Spanning the globe. Because, frankly, I think I'd like to be just about any place other than where I currently am. Wow.
You think escape's that easy?
What a voyeld, what a voyeld. Perhaps some perspective will help us not have so much angst. Let's get to it, shall we, here on Wretched Radio. Oh boy, we could share these stories all day. Sadly, peaceful Hindus in India. There's a reason that this country happens to be on the watch list of concerns, and this is just one of many, many stories. A Christian, the report, not exactly sure, could have been 14, 18, does it really matter? In the Odisha state of India. They're calling him in this particular article a seventh grader. He may have been a little bit older, was killed. They cut his neck, crushed his head with a rock, cut his body into pieces and buried him in a pit. Did I mention it's because he was a Christian? Our brothers and sisters around the globe are literally taking a beating, and it goes on and on and on. 3-year-old girl dies of injuries. 9 others hacked to death in Fulani attack on Christian village. You can see these stories all day, every day. Tony, how many of these in your course of putting the news together? This is just perpetual.
You'll see a handful of those every day without even looking.
And these make the they, without even looking, they just pop up.
They
do Christian stuff out there on the Googler machine. It pops up, and you can find these every place without even looking for them. And these are just the ones that make it. And this is happening everywhere. And whilst I might be inclined to remind us that there's no reason to believe that this type of treatment toward Christians can't happen where you and I currently live, until that day, maybe, just maybe, we can do some things to help our brothers and sisters overseas. Maybe, like, pray for them. I wonder if in all of this, all of the things that the Lord is doing as a culture, a civilization seems to be unraveling, might one of the messages that he is sending to us be, why don't you start praying more, people? Why don't you take a look around you? How hot does it need to get for you to get to your knees? One wonders. How's your prayer life, may I ask? Can't recall who I was reading last night, but it's a constant cry of the Puritans. It was, in fact, I think somebody had written an article. I think it was at the Master Seminary blog. Outstanding blog, by the way. I went there yesterday, and I was lost in a happy place reading all of the articles at tms.edu/blog. Just outstanding theological stuff. No news stuff. No, what did I say? TMAI? It's tms.edu. You're thinking of TMAI at .edu. Well, as long as you're at TM initials, you could go to TMAI. That wouldn't be a bad thing to do to support the Masters Academy International to train pastors in places like India, where it's a little bit dangerous to do so. The Masters Academy, they're Masters Sema grads. They're living overseas, indigenous. They train other indigenous men to be pastors, to rightly divide the word of truth. It's an outstanding ministry. It's what it is. It's connected to the Masters Seminary. It's called Masters Academy International. To support it, you'd be doing a good thing. There's empty pulpits everywhere that need to be filled. There's 16, maybe 17 countries that they are presently in. These are Master Sem graduates training men to rightly divide the word of truth. wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor. I can't recall if the article that I was reading was from Master Sem. It may have been. But it was talking about prayer. And one of the marks of prayer, this might cause you to shake a little bit, and it might cause you to get on it. I recall it did me. This goes back years ago. Who of us does not struggle in prayer? It is hard. For some of us, more than others, I actually think there are some people who are given the spiritual gift of prayer. We call them prayer warriors, don't we? And we all know who they are. And they're good prayers. They pray about things. And when they say to you, I'm going to pray about that, you know they actually mean it. And they do. And it's not a drive-by prayer. It's intense prayer. I actually think that that could be a gift that God gives to some inside of the body. Nevertheless, it is something that we are all called to do. And this goes back, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago. I read something like, prayer is one of the key indicators you're actually saved. If you are not dedicated to prayer in some way, shape, or form, and for everybody that can look a little bit different, you would do well to question your salvation. Now, at that moment when I read that, I had an option. I could sit there and freak out and wonder if I'm actually saved and then go into a malaise over assurance or lack thereof, or I could just get on it. Maybe that's what you need to do. Knowing that Christians pray. You're a Christian? Cool. Prove it. Start praying. Hey, that's not the correct motivation. It's not the best motivation, but it's a motivation. And sometimes we need a rod, don't we? We need some severe reminders on occasion, don't we? That God commands us to pray a lot, like Jesus did. And if there is nothing in your life that demonstrates that you are a praying believer, you would do well to ask if you are a believer. And if that statement from the Puritans annoys you, then argue that it's wrong if you'd like, or figure out a way to get a prayer program going. You figure it out. What is your thing? What is your pattern? What is your lifestyle? What are your abilities with your ability to concentrate and to articulate? What tools might you need for prayer? It's graduation season, so we're getting invites to people's graduation. What do you get for that? Do you have that conundrum? So this year, we opted to give the Valley of Vision. It's a leather-bound prayer book. Puritan prayers. Woo! Are they prayers? Maybe you need that. Put it on your nightstand. When you wake up in the morning, spend 5 minutes reading one of those prayers. 5 minutes! And then at the end of the day, before you turn out the light, grab it and do it again. Now, is that all you should do? I don't know. But it would be a start, wouldn't it? Can you start your day better? Can you end your day any better than talking to God? Maybe that's the thing that would work for you. Maybe you need to concoct another strategy for doing that. What is it? What is the mojo in your house? What are the patterns? Was talking to a friend the other day, and he did something. I used some words that I have not used in a long time. When was the last time you heard anybody talk about a prayer closet? A room in their house dedicated. That's where Dad goes, shuts the door to pray. Do not disturb. Does not need to be taped to the door. We all know. When was it? And he does it because he read about... It was a missionary, like William Carey, one of those guys, who built a prayer closet and died in it. That's a good way to go, praying to God. He died praying to God. This convicted him, so he found a room in his house, whatever, I don't know how big, small, whatever. That's it. That room, that has a special purpose. And it helps him be dedicated to prayer. That works for him. Do you need to do that? No. Could you? Sure. If it works. What are the patterns of your home? When can you find the time? You've got kids, and it makes it difficult because it starts with a shot every day because that little one gets up and they want their bowl of cereal, and away you go. All right, maybe you need to train the little one. You're going to have to wait 10 minutes. They can be trained to learn that. Instead of just acquiescing to their morning demand, they know mom needs 10 minutes before she comes out. And if a sound is made, there's going to be consequences because mom needs that 10 minutes. I don't know if that works for you. Figure it out. I know it works in our home. I don't know what's going on in your place. That's why I'm never nuts about those people who say, this is what you need to be doing. Okay, tell us it's an option, but don't tell us that's what we got to be doing. Might I encourage you to figure it out for you so that you can be dedicated to prayer more, demonstrating you really are a believer? Furthermore, wrote the Puritan in this article that I can't identify at the moment, it's an indicator of your spiritual health. It could be you are a believer. You have been, your prayers just shrinking. Other things are probably shrinking with it. They go together, don't they? Suddenly, your spiritual battles become greater and you go, why am I struggling with this sin so much again? Why don't you just take a little look and see how much have you been praying? There is likely a connection. Your spiritual health is connected to your prayer life. And while the correct motivation, the proper motivation, the best motivation for this should be, I want to talk to God because I get to and I want to. That's the ideal. Short of that, do what it takes to demonstrate that you are a healthy believer and figure out a way to spend more time in prayer. Our brothers and sisters sure could use it. This is Wretched Radio. Uh-huh. And you didn't think it was worth your time to pay attention in geography class.
I'm thinking about a village that we visited called Pirasmani. It took us about 4 hours to get there, and the road was so bumpy that we were a couple of basket cases by the time we got there. But you know what? There were 35 kids waiting there for us. They have no church in this village. Talk about an unreached place, and we're now operating a tomorrow club in that place.
You and I could not find that place on a map of Eastern Europe, but tomorrow clubs do, and they go, and they bring the gospel, and kids are getting saved. They're bringing the gospel home to parents, and churches are being started or revitalized. Would you please consider supporting your own tomorrow clubs? $30 per month will disciple 30 kids in places you and I couldn't even find on a map. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
It's June, and Christmas practically right around the corner. So now is the perfect time to find your loved ones the perfect gift. So why not find that gift in the Wretched store June 12th through the 14th during our Wretched Summer Sale? Be sure to use the promo code SING, that's S-I-N-G, for 50% off Wretched resources. But wait, there's more. I love saying that in commercials. Every order of $40 or more will get 5 free advanced copies of our newest resource, 13 Reasons You Should Not Commit Suicide. There is so much to find at the Wretched store, so visit wretched.org and just wander about. You'll find our newest resource, The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God, or a crowd favorite, Herman Who, and a whole lot more. Visit wretched.org/sale June 12th through the 14th. Use the promo code SING and receive 50% off Wretched resources. The Wretched Sale at wretched.org/sale June 12th through the 14th.
Good news? Yeah, lots of it. Due to the pandemic, guess who's been shut down for a number of weeks? That's right, Planned Parenthood. You know what that means. Women who are experiencing a crisis, they are fleeing to other centers to get prenatal help and free ultrasounds. That means preborn centers are busier than ever. That means you and I have an opportunity to support them to be giving free ultrasounds 80% of the time. Mom chooses life because she sees it's her baby in her womb. And we need some help filling up the warehouse at preborn so that they can provide prenatal services and postnatal services. Month of May, $100,000 match. Not kidding. Would you please support preborn.org/wretched at this rather crucial time? preborn.org/wretched.
Revelation. General revelation is God's act of making himself known through his creation. A part of general revelation is the sensus divinatus, a sense of the divine. God has given every person an undeniable awareness of his existence. There are no true atheists, only rebels in denial of what every person knows to be true.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Uh-oh, somebody else just got canceled. This is Wretched Radio. All right, Tony, who's the guy that just got shamed on the internet because of what he said 6 years ago?
Actor, The Flash.
Guy Elongated Man. Elongated not Plastic Man, not Mr. Fantastic. Elongated Man. The actor on The Flash.
You know what? I could play that role. I'm Elongated Man.
You could. Have you tweeted anything stupid recently?
Typecasting of some sort right there.
Have you tweeted anything stupid in the last 20 years?
I've done nothing not stupid in the last 20 years. So this fellow said something dopey 6 years ago, correct?
Yeah, they were idiot things, and he's gone.
So he's lost his job,
yep.
Gets blacklisted, and he can't come out and play anymore because of cultural shaming. Or canceling.
You know, there was a woman who got hired by Disney recently and went through and deleted multiple tweets just before anyone could dig them back up.
Ryan? Did she keep her job?
Oh, yeah. Well, she happens to be, I think, firmly in cancel culture, so she's probably not too in danger. But she worked with Harvey Weinstein, so you never know.
Now, how Christian is that? How Christian is it to find something from somebody's closet that our culture deems to be unacceptable? And these days, by the way, it's usually not sexual stuff anymore because there is no shame in that quarter anymore. But you say something inappropriate about someone, have the wrong attitude that is deemed insensitive. And even if it is, let's just say that it is. I don't know who this elongated fellow is. Said something that really was that I think everybody would deem inappropriate 6 years ago. Where's the forgiveness? Where's mercy? Where's grace? Where's a recognition I say dumb things too? Where's the opportunity for growth? It is so anti-Christian. Now, there can be times when somebody does something so egregious that society does say, I'm sorry, you don't get to play in the sandbox anymore because of this behavior. But there was always a recognition of what was done, how long ago was it, how old were they, and how have they been living since then? And do we want to give the opportunity for, you know, a second chance? There's nothing Christian about that. Paganism is mean. Paganism is cruel. Atheism is a nasty territory. And they think that we Christians are awful because we do things like church discipline. Yeah, we do things like church discipline. And they might look at us and go, well, don't you do the same thing? Didn't Jesus tell you to set somebody out if they don't conform to the rules? Yes. But what happens if they do? You welcome them back in and you love on them. And even the act itself of putting them out is for a purpose, to let them know that they are straying and that they are in danger of eternal damnation. What's the point of cultural shaming? What is the point of it? They murder you. That's it. You're dead to us. That's what that is. We don't want you to exist anymore where you are ever in our presence.
So it's a 21st century version of shunning.
It is a 21st. It absolutely is. Call it what you want. But its purpose, ultimately, it's murder. And by the way, speaking of murder, have you heard anybody talking about racism like this? Just grand terms. Like, racism is disgusting. It's despicable. This horrible practice. You hear really almost hyperbolic, like the greatest extreme to describe racism. And I suspect if you asked any of those people why, their answer would be, well, because our culture has determined that it is. Culture has now said that if you have negative feelings, superior feelings toward anybody with a different skin color, you're racist. But in this, now you also have to have power, but nevertheless. And racism is the most wicked, awful thing that you can possibly do. That is what our culture has determined. So here's a question. Is it Christian? What makes racism so bad? If you were asked, why is racism bad? What would you say? I haven't heard anybody, and I've read an awful lot on this subject lately, I hear every Christian say racism is bad, but I don't hear them explain why. It's murder. Racism is murder. Jesus said, call your brother a fool, and that's not the formula. You don't need to say exactly, okay, raka. That, now suddenly you're murdering somebody. No, the idea is if your heart has animosity towards somebody, it's akin to murder because you have hate in your heart towards somebody. And God, whose standard of holiness is so high, we just see that maybe as bad form, inappropriate. God sees it as murder. And so when I hear these secularists use these extreme terms to talk about it, I just want to go, why? Why? Says who? And they would say, well, culturally, we all know that. By the way, that points to God. The only way that our culture does know that racism is bad, because it is because God exists. If there isn't a standard of morality, it's just a preference issue. Nevertheless, they can't explain why, and a lot of Christians can't. Racism is murder. But wait, there's more commandments it violates. Because everybody, regardless of melanin, they're an image bearer of God. What are we saying about God when we point a finger at somebody of a different skin color or perhaps different attributes, whether it's height, the type of eyes, whatever it is that people look at and go, ugh, it's murder. That's strike one. Strike two, it's blasphemy. Hey, creator of all things, bad job on those people. Whoa. That is nasty territory. And honestly, that should cause any Christian who might be apathetic about racism, that should light your fire. That if none of the cultural conversations about it have caused you to go, hey, it is a bad thing, that should. And that is why if any of us do have any of those attitudes in our heart, we need to remember it's murder. If I talk about a people group disparagingly, if I'm doing that, I'm telling God, foul, rotten job, bad creator. I wouldn't have done it that way. That is what makes racism so nasty. And I don't think that I've heard any Christians describing it in those terms. They've simply been singing off of the song sheet of the secularists. Yeah, it's really, really bad. Why? Murder, blasphemy. That, oh, wait a second. We're not done. Pride. Arrogance. I'm better. Furthermore, God loves me more, clearly. He made me like this and not like that. And I suspect you could go on and come up with more ways that it is a crime against God to be racist toward anybody. And so if you have not been all that bothered by the subject of racism, that should. That should. And that's the way we should be talking about it too. We should, because otherwise we're just following the cultural norm. Well, the culture has now said this is a really, really bad thing. Yeah, it's a really bad thing. But we should be telling them why it's a really, really bad thing, because without some sort of authority behind it, then it's nothing but a cultural norm at this point, which could mean we could say, so if you, my atheist friend, do not have a source of authority to tell me why this is bad other than our culture has determined that racism is bad, does that mean in 20 years, if our culture determines it's good, it is? Says who is always a question that you can ask your unsaved friend to reveal unless you've got a source of moral authority. I'm sorry. I'm not interested. As long as we brought up the subject, because how can you not these days? Was sent an email. Oh, where is my email? Oh, it said something like Jesus. No, the slogan was violent riots or violent protests are bad. Quote from Jesus. And it's a cartoon picture of Jesus turning over the tables in the temple. See what they did there? See? They justified violent acts toward people's property and their business because Jesus did it, right? Question, what makes that wrong? Why is the thinking of that wrong? Why can they not use Jesus cleansing the temple to justify violent acts in culture. All right, Tony, why is that a misuse of what Jesus did?
What Jesus did was righteous anger, protecting his father's house.
I'm sorry, whose house?
His father's house.
Uh-huh. And Jesus and the Father are two or one?
They are one.
Uh-huh. So in other words, Jesus was cleansing his house.
Hmm. Yeah.
Jesus was cleansing his house. He could do anything. It was being used wrongly, and he can do to it what he sees fit because it is just and right. Jesus did not go down the street and loot and ransack stores. That's private property, and Jesus never broke the law. Lots of Bible verses these days being used to strangle scripture. Don't forget why racism is so awful. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.